se sa SBS-om na bosanskom. Pronađite još sjajnih priča na sbs.com.au/bosnian.
Importance of keeping up to date to World Health Organization and government's instructions and advices to keep our physical well-being up is equal to keeping our mental health as well in a good shape. It's really difficult in this new situation where we have our movement restrictions and isolation measures to accept new daily habits, being limited to your doorstep to work from home. It is for those who are lucky to still keep some job. In brief, people are facing negative emotions such as fear, uncertainty, frustration, anxiety. How to get through all this to stay cool, to get peace inside, and many other issues will be the reason for our today's talk to our guest, psychiatry specialist Dr. Rosie Udovičić, who is not just a top expert in this field of science, but as well beloved psychiatrist among Bosnian community as well as many other ethnic communities. Dr. Udovičić, we wish you warm welcome to SBS radio program.
Thank you so much for inviting me to join you and your listeners today, Aisha. It's my pleasure to be here.
Our listeners will be curious to know a bit more about your professional life.
Yeah, sure. My name's Rosie Anna Udovičić, and I was born in Melbourne in 1961, a couple of years after my parents arrived here as immigrants in 1958 from the former Yugoslavia. I have one other sister who is a dentist, and otherwise I work in private practice in a Melbourne suburb with my husband working alongside me as practice manager. I completed my specialization in psychiatry in 1991, which was turned out to really become my destiny, because within a couple of days war broke out in former Yugoslavia and literally thousands and thousands of refugees began arriving on our doorstep here. And even with my very rudimentary Croatian skills, I felt very inspired and privileged to be in a position where I could extend my professional support to this very large group of vulnerable people. I also must say that I always felt a very special connection to this group, as both my parents were affected by the Second World War as small children, and I watched as my parents in their adult life overcame their childhood traumas to a greater or lesser degree, and tried to always bring us, their children, very beautiful positive messages in life. I think to a large degree they were able to translate a lot of their trauma into their own altruistic attitudes, where helping other people became one of our family values that we upheld at home.
But today, nowadays, coronavirus pandemic. In yes. order to save ourselves, our families, our country health system, how should we organize our life being at home? How to control time? How to get through isolation and keep it bearable?
Yes, I think that we really do well to work on our attitude, first of all and most fundamentally, to work on creating a positive mindset. As I feel, when I think about crisis and I think about ways of coping and our defense mechanisms, I think that sometimes we can become like a general who has an army at his command. And part of our army is actually our physical body, for example, and you know, part of that physical body has microscopic elements and some are larger elements, such as our limbs and our heads, etc. But if our general is in a positive and strong mind frame, then he is able to command that body much more effectively and inspire that body to address the threats that it's facing, in this case the coronavirus, and also the impact of the coronavirus, which is much which is being felt much more broadly than just the virus itself. We can then address, as a general address, is how we use our limited resources to best benefit share our lives with. So I think that to overview it, we must address our physical needs, our mental and emotional needs, our intellectual needs, or the capacity of our mind, the need for us to work as well. And many of us are finding ourselves out of work right now or at home. We still need to work. And I think that a large part of the healthy mindset lays in our need to have a sense of being productive and constructive at the end of each day, that we haven't just wasted days away looking at the internet. Finally, you know, many friends are saying, finally, I've had time to clean out those cupboards, or, you know, I've had time to shampoo the carpets, etc., etc. These sound like banal tasks, but they actually are very important for us to have a sense of satisfaction and not wasting our time. So moving beyond that need to work, we also have a need to connect with each other, which is being potentially compromised by the isolation rules and the distancing rules. But I really want to challenge that, because since the measures have been in place, for the first time in my 20 years at our current address here in, on the seaside in Melbourne's western suburbs, for the first time, I'm seeing families playing together in their front yard, gardening together, taking walks together. Neighbours who I never met before suddenly are waving at me as we go for walks and connecting and calling out to me. And I think that because suddenly our connections appear to have been taken away, or we're deprived of connecting physically, suddenly people are really hungry to connect and very, very conscious of the opportunities that we have that we previously missed. So I see this as a potentially very positive and very enriching time for ourselves and our families and our communities, which is so important.
Yes, this is really the better bright side of this situation. But many individuals are struggling to cope with this situation. They're anxious, sure. Even panicking. Sure. Being isolated at home, we are focused on electronic media, TV mainly, radio, internet, and so on. And all of them offer mainly the same bad news in on a huge scale. Some information are very often contradictory and the bad. Dr. Udovičić, what do you suggest in regards to media consumption? How people can calm down and get their spiritual balance back?
Oh, look, Aisha, I think it's of utmost importance to limit our exposure to the media and to news, which, you know, by their very existence, they need to have a negative focus to be able to sell the advertising that they need to sell. And we need to understand that as living creatures, our brain actually has its own bias towards negative information. And so we are attracted to those very demoralizing headlines and frightening headlines because of their survival value that we have. And our brains are also geared to hold on to those informations and to store them in our long-term memory in preference to more lighter subjects or happier news stories. So, you know, we're in a potentially very vulnerable situation where we are exposed to so much negativity in the media. And we need to really be very proactive to rebalance that. As human beings, we actually have many more layers to the brain than this very deeply located primitive root in the center of the brain, where a lot of the negative obsessions and panic thoughts start to spin around under out of control. And it is a particular intervention in a lot of patients' therapy, which we call cognitive behavioral therapy, to teach them to step aside from those primitive thoughts and to engage the activity of our frontal lobe, which is really where we become master and commander of our own experiences. And this is really where we can determine how we will respond to today's challenges. And so if part of today's challenges is to deal with the media, first we have to make sure it's only a part of it and it doesn't consume the entire day. We must limit it. And then I think it really behoves us to create a daily schedule without being too obsessional or controlling. We need to have some flexibility, but I think we should commit to very positive scheduling of healthy activities, which include first and foremost regular physical activity. And yes, we still can go outdoors and have a walk for the purpose of exercise, according to Victorian regulations at this point. And many of my patients haven't been aware of that, particularly some of the elderly people I've been talking with. They've been huddling in fear at home, feeling terribly isolated from their family and especially missing their grandchildren. For example, I spoke with some dear grandparents that I've been seeing for a long time, and they're missing their three granddaughters, but they only live 6 kilometres away. And they were saying that their granddaughters were complaining how bored they were, probably because they live a life of great privilege. And, they're really succumbing to the comforts in their home rather than doing something actively and doing something that has meaning for them. So I actually advised these grandparents to make a commitment with their granddaughters to set out on a walk towards each other's homes each day and to meet halfway, stop 2 metres from each other, conduct a short conversation to connect with each other, and then return home. And that way they get their connection and they get their daily exercise, which is permitted.
Yeah, this is very good advice. But Dr. Udovicic, many Bosnians react very stormy on this COVID pandemic. Due to their war trauma, it is possible that this situation triggers their PTSD syndrome and how to cope with it.
Yes, absolutely. The PTSD or war trauma has been very deeply triggered in a lot of my patients. And I've been hearing how, for example, right at the start of this crisis, just going to the supermarkets and seeing empty shelves, just experiencing an inability to get very basic commodities that we use in our homes, such as toilet paper, for example. Just seeing the panicked headlines and hearing the panic energy in their communities and in the media has been a very strong trigger for my patients. And of course, it's important to acknowledge that, yes, this is really happening and another crisis has triggered the war trauma, but we aren't at war. And in fact, any stress can trigger war trauma. And there are many triggers that can bring back war trauma, but corona represents a very important and global trigger right now for so many people beyond even the Bosnian community. So how do I help people to manage their PTSD? First of all, of course, we acknowledge, yes, their symptoms are re-emerging again, but the symptoms, just as they re-emerge, they will also subside. And this is the nature of the post-trauma reaction. It comes and it goes. It ebbs and it flows like a tide. And the more sometimes we try to stand in its way, the worse it becomes. And I think just allowing that wave of trauma, like a wave of grief as well, to come and blow over us and then it goes. Reminding ourselves, this is actually not destroying me today. My life is not at risk. And then I also like patients to highlight for themselves what are the differences between their experience now and their experience in wartime Bosnia. And, of course, the big one is nobody is shooting at them. They're safe in warm in their own homes. We which are full of incredible comforts that they've been able to accrue through their lives in Australia, through their hard work. And, you know, I encourage them to then take a step further and schedule a healthy program of activities, not just looking at media, not just sharing devastating news stories with each other, but I encourage them to employ basic self-care, looking at their physical fitness and mental fitness, considering the role of meditation and mindfulness, of course always considering the importance of positive thinking, and then stepping it up further and challenging people to become more involved in their communities through volunteering, for example, and helping others who are less well off than themselves. So we all can connect at this time and still offer help to the elderly around us, to the elderly in our own families. And the government is very clear that we can still visit the elderly in our communities as long as we're visiting with a purpose to help them. And this must be something very specific and very definable.
And Dr. Udovičić, what would be your final message to our listeners?
It's important to look at our big picture of life and to understand this is just one part of that big picture, and that we are, as human beings individually, a lot more than just the crisis will be. And most of us will survive this crisis. And we will have to be confronted by the memory of who we actually were during this crisis. Did I give in to the feelings of fear and anger, and did I give in to the feeling of isolation, and was I a team player? Was I somebody who I can be proud of tomorrow? Was I somebody who is a positive role model for my children? And I really want people to challenge themselves and to appreciate just how much we do impact on our children and on other people around us, and that when we're expressing positivity and courage, that those feelings are actually contagious, maybe more so than coronavirus is. And that, you know, if we can just smile when it's hard, if we can find a way to find the positives, if we can change that inner conversation with ourselves and look for a way to process internally that becomes enriching to us and it enhances our feeling of being alive today, perhaps then we can also be helpful to those around us and help them to struggle less and to find a way to also grow and to become better people together.
Dr. Udovičić, thank you so much for your time, for this inspirational interview. We believe that your powerful words will encourage our audience to find inner strength in this situation of coronavirus pandemic. All the best for you, your family, and happy Easter.
Thank you so much, and the same to you and all your listeners. It's been a great pleasure to speak with you today.
SBS na Bosanskom. Podijelite naše priče preko Facebooka. Želite poslušati još ovakvih priča? Slušajte preko Apple podcasta, Google podcasta, Spotify ili kako god da primate svoje podcastove.